Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Score!
The premier
locker room
show in Chicago. Inside the
locker room.
That's right. We had that segment earlier on the show. It was brand new, called Inside the Locker Room with Mark Grody. It was the premier football segment on The Score today.
Please keep that.
I mean, baseball shows are no longer allowed, right, Spiegel? You hit your limit.
Hey, did you guys sing along with the low brass on the inside the locker room?
We waited for the low brass before we got to the sound.
I was an eight count early.
Such a good moment.
It is. It is a nice production piece.
Back in the day when they used to allow baseball shows on these airwaves.
Well, I got some bad news for you, fella. It's over with until October. October, you can come on back. We have pressing issues until then.
How do you feel about
it? We all got to deal with our sad.
I got baseball thoughts, though, for America.
Keep them for Saturday.
How do you feel about joining Inside the Locker Room with the midday show?
Oh, but that, I mean, you already got how many people on that segment? There's Grody, and then there's you two, and like there's Ray, and there's Ryan. You don't need me. You got it covered.
Hey, we've said this before. We're the hangout show. You can come and hang out. You got a mug.
Is that what I need?
Yeah,
mugs are good for hanging out.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks to our guest. Thanks to Patrick Manley. He was fantastic as usual. Tim Jenkins is back. As I mentioned earlier, he has a 48-minute deep dive video on Caleb Williams. The film is out already on YouTube.
Well, guess what? I can top that because our guest, JT O'Sullivan, tomorrow, he's got a 2-hour video on Caleb Williams.
Wow. If I didn't know any better, I'd say that we had a video measuring contest.
That's right.
Pull out the tape.
I am here for it.
Just pull out enough tape to win. That's all you want to do.
Those guys have more luck.
That's how you use the tape that matters.
Do they have more luck in tutoring potential quarterbacks than Kurt Warner does? I felt so bad for Kurt Warner listening to you guys yesterday saying that nobody calls me.
I thought he was joking, but he wasn't.
I know. And I think it's kind of adorable. He's like, if anyone would like to ask me questions about quarterbacking, that's a quarterback.
Does anybody call Kurt?
Yes. I am available.
Please call me. Nobody calls.
I love that, though. Like, I talk about my DMs or whatever on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot.
Slide.
But I get a lot of DMs about just people venting about sports. So I think I've decided I'm going to start answering some of these in a social media mailbag. I picture Kurt just like sitting at the Lucy from the Peanuts cartoons, like advice booth.
Uh-huh.
It's like 5 cents.
Yeah,
that could be Kurt Warner for us at least.
But I mean, we literally said to him, like, hey, if Caleb reached out to you, he's like, oh, yeah, if you feel free to give Caleb my number.
I'd be happy to tell Caleb how to watch film.
Well, maybe Tyson Bagent will call Kurt Warner.
Oh, my God.
I heard you dropping that nuclear bomb
Can I thank our crew before?
Absolutely.
Because they deserve it for putting up with us. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer, Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis, and Connor O'Donnell. Thank you so much. And our sponsor, Transition. It is brought to you by Old Republic Kitchen and Bar.
Woo!
Ice cold beer, legendary food. And now for the hot take.
Wait, hold up. You thought that was a nuclear bomb?
That was a nuclear bomb. And the placement of it, I had some questions. I was like, wait a minute. That is not what that question was about. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, and another thing. Tyson Bagent going to be starting in week 5.
That's like, not what I said. Like, that's not what I said.
Marshall.
Yeah, you did.
I expect better from you, Lawrence. No, Grody. What I said was there is a clock ticking on Caleb Williams figuring
like a
out
bomb? Like a clock on a bomb.
Is this like
basically,
your catch the Brewers mess?
Because if he doesn't, okay. How long would you give Caleb Williams to be able to just accurately hit people?
I think that's fair. I agree with you that there's a clock. It being hitting midnight in week five, I thought was a little excessive.
I said somewhere between after the bye and the midpoint of the season.
I think Grody probably got it right. I think it's probably week 9, week 10.
It's at least half the season.
Yeah, where you start to then at least acknowledge that there are other quarterbacks on the roster.
See if you also feel the same way when they're 0-4.
Well, so you can't bail that early on. I'm not saying bail. No, I'm just saying after everything, he still is a tantalizing talent. And I know there's a lot of people that are sick of hearing that, but as long as the arm talent is there, Caleb Williams will continue to get shots as a quarterback in this league and as a starter for the Bears until further notice.
I'm no Caleb defender. People know this about me.
Right.
But I will tell you, that throw that he made on the sideline,
amazing.
There's two dudes in the league that can make that throw.
Amazing.
Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
What about those one to DeAndre Swift when he's right there?
Now, there are a lot of dudes that can make that throw, and for some reason, Caleb can't. And that's frustrating.
Or even
and
that's the DJ point, really. Moore when he's wide open, yeah.
He seems to, we were talking about this in our pre-show, he seems to miss DJ Moore a lot, by a lot. It's not like it was off of his fingertips. No, it was 5 yards over his head.
And it's when DJ Moore is open by a lot.
But also, wasn't that the same with Keenan Allen? I feel like we had the same discussion about a lot of the stuff with Keenan Allen.
At some point, he is
one of the best in the league at route running. I think he did too, but I'm saying the disconnect would be there on the field.
He's got to hit, whoever's there. Like this was supposed to be one of those ugly wins where the young quarterback learns and ends up with teachable moments to break down in tape. That's what this was. You're up 17-6 with first down and 10 on their 24 in the third quarter. You're supposed to be able to finish this as a team and let your young quarterback be bad sometimes and learn from it. The rest of the team screwed the pooch in not finishing this game along with Caleb. This is supposed to be one of those wins that you manage and survive, but special teams screwed up, and Ben Johnson had two terrible mistakes in his first game as a head coach. That challenge was crap, absolute crap. And to not kick the ball out of bounds or into the landing zone, to instead trust your kicker to go out of the back of the end zone, you got to know if he can't do it. You got options, and he didn't use them. Bad, bad mistakes by Ben Johnson.
That was the part that I think was pretty surprising, was that this is now, what year am I talking about strategy here? Because I feel like that was the case previously, you know. Timeouts, that type of thing.
That's why last night it felt like time was a flat circle last night. It was unbelievable.
Well, and then you start wondering, why is it similar? You know, what are we missing?
Was there anything worse than the play in the fourth quarter where both Caleb and DJ Moore get clobbered, get leveled, and there's two flags on the play, two players down on the ground, nothing more symbolic? What was really amazing was DJ Moore trying to come back into the game.
I couldn't believe that because he got blowed up on that play, and that hit was legal. Like, there was nothing wrong with that hit. And he got blowed up. The one on Caleb, he got hit in the head. And they got to call a penalty on that for sure.
Yeah, I was watching. I don't know if television. Did television track DJ Moore after that? Did you guys see what happened after that?
No, I did. I was surprised that they didn't. What did you see?
What I saw was, DJ comes back in. And then quickly you see Andre Tucker, the head trainer for the Bears, kind of come down and try to rustle up DJ Moore. And then they quickly, at a rapid pace, finally walk to the tent. So it's like one thing about DJ Moore is that dude takes some vicious hits, and then he comes like inexplicably.
I'm shocked that he wasn't taken directly to the tent, because if the game has to stop for you to come off the field, that's a pretty good indicator that you're really hurt.
Yeah.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
But that's on DJ. Like, DJ, like, insisted. It was the way, at least, like, it played out to me.
That's why it's not on DJ.
Yeah, I think it's on the staff.
It's on your medical staff, because, of course, a player is want to go back into the game.
They hide helmets for a reason.
Did you guys laugh at all last night? Like, towards as that thing was awful, I finally...
The Ferris Bueller thing, I laughed.
I laughed at that, but I laughed when the snap went off DJ Moore's hip on that...
Second to last play.
Yeah. I'm like, man...
We saw that a couple weeks ago.
This thing is just... I mean, it's not supposed to look that ugly, but it looked ugly and ugly and ugly upon ugly.
Nine seconds left.
There were some collective awes from the crowd. Like, they all reacted at the same time to certain things. Like, and that was...
The groan.
The Soldier Field crowd was all of us, I feel like, in those moments.
I agree with you, because what was going on was there was a party on the lakefront that was happening. For a whole half, there was a party on the lakefront, and people were excited. You're out on the most gorgeous night. Everything feels like it's going the right direction. And then people are like, hey, guys, something's wrong with the punch. Like, the people are getting sick. Yeah.
Not the Mad TV.
Yeah, the party got real sad, and then the party got angry, because people were like, I didn't pay and drive all the way down here for this BS.
Because we've been living this, man, through the whole Mitch era, and then the whole Justin era, and now the whole Caleb era, and you're starting to wonder, like, did we screw it up again? Is it possible that the Bears screwed it up again, and we're going to live with this same crap? It felt so similar to so many different regimes and time frames of our Bears' lives. It's not supposed to feel that way.
Basically said why it does feel that way.
There's history, there's pretext, and also Ryan Poles exists.
Well, Ryan Poles, but this is Ben Johnson's show, man. You're the coach, and he's going to have to change a lot of this stuff around.
If it were really Ben Johnson's show, and I appreciate the thought, but they still extended him. They still extended Ryan Poles another 5 years, and he's now 15-37.
Mm-hmm. Here are some questions that we were kind of throwing around, and it does speak to Ryan Poles. You had a second round pick that didn't play. And not only did he not play because he didn't win the starting job, you couldn't even make him in your jumbo package the extra tackle.
Bingo.
Theo.
That's a problem.
Benedette.
Canadian bacon. That's a problem. Where was Luther Burden?
He was out there. I saw him catch the one ball for the -3, but also right before the half when they didn't have enough time to do anything, he was running it back on the kickoff.
There was a few snaps.
Right.
You've seen him.
Yeah, no, one of the things that did not make our show that I wanted to get into was just this, like, Ryan Poles draft picks, what did they do last night?
So we're going to do it with Ann Heron tomorrow.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot that they did last night, and things moved well early on, and Speaks and I are going to, I think we have a little bit of a fundamental disagreement about what the offense looked like early on, where I didn't have as big of a problem as he did, and we'll discuss that in the show, but... This is where I'm at, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. The sideline throw, the stuff that Caleb did in the last few minutes of the game, I know he can do that. I know it. I know that he can do that. He's great at in those heroic moments, and he can do all of that stuff. What I need you to be able to do is when the game is available for you to win it, when it was 17-6, I'm going to need you to win those. I'm going to need you to just be, you don't have to be spectacular all the time.
Pedestrian's fine. Sometimes, cross the street.
Sometimes you just have to be competent. And that's where I'm struggling in watching them. But I know that this is a process, and some of it will play out. And some of it was really cool. Like Ben using the same play last night against the Vikings on the Rome touchdown that he used against the Bears on Thanksgiving for a touchdown. So the fact that they got that play and they were able to execute that play and it looked gorgeous for the Rome touchdown is fine. But everything went bad once we got to the end of the third quarter, and that needs to be addressed.
It's nice when you can just ground and pound at the end when you have the lead, too. I didn't see a whole lot of grounding and pounding.
Well, there's not a whole lot of running game that looked very good. I regret drafting DeAndre Swift in fantasy football.
He's on my team, too. I regret it deeply.
You. And I was, as I was watching that, I was like, oh, yeah.
Lawrence warned you on that, too, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He did. He should have warned me some more, though. I blame Lawrence in general because it feels better to my soul to blame him. But, yeah, man, watching that was brutal. And there's just... You know, Ben had a very blank and kind of overwhelmed look on his face last night. I felt like he was coming to grips with just how far away his offense is from being able to do what he wants
to do. At what point?
He had some angry looks on his face, too.
I thought he was angry with Caleb's decision-making on several under center, let's pass the ball. Hey, that guy was open, by the way. I know you did the other thing, but that guy was open.
And after the game, I thought he couldn't mask his disappointment at all. I think he was incredibly disappointed in what that offense looked like.
At least he pointed the thumb, though.
He did. He definitely did a little bit.
He did for the 5 minutes that he talked after the game.
That was crazy.
Don't like that. Don't like that.
That's unacceptable.
When you've been given bouquets all preseason, oh, look at how transparent he is. Yeah, until you lost. Then the transparency was only 5 minutes, and he was very curt with his answers on what went wrong with your team on the opening game, how sloppy they were, and how penalized they were, how your special teams was not prepared to play. And, Layla, you talk about hidden yards all the time. Look at the hidden yards on punt return for the Vikings last night. And that's even before we start talking about Cairo Santos either not knowing the rules or not being capable of kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone or the block punt. What's going on there?
17 per
bad. Way,
special teams coordinator that was held over.
By the way, that blocked punt, there were signs earlier. The Vikings were already trying the same rush on punt formation twice prior. Like Torrey Taylor fell down after one of the punts because contact came into him, you know, the pile came into him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had warning signs about all of that.
Jervon Dexter make an impact enough for you as a Ryan Poles draft pick?
Well, they said his name more than Montez Sweat.
I thought Dio Dangbo was pretty good.
Yeah, Dio finally popped.
He was really good until he wasn't.
Right, penalties.
Until he fell for the banana in the tailpipe on the J.J. McCarthy keeper.
Breaking news on the score here? Is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Layla?
Shams Charania,
uh-oh.
New Trier's own.
Did I check
Bears. The post. Justin, restricted free agent Josh Giddey has reached agreement on a 4-year, $100 million deal to re-sign with the Chicago Bulls.
That's too much money.
Agent Daniel Moldovan of Lighthouse Sports Management tells
ESPN. Well, you guys have a topic.
No, we don't.
Not today.
We'll talk about that in October.
25. Did he sign an offer sheet?
No, that's it. He never signed an offer sheet. That's just straight up him and the Bulls.
I'm shocked with them bidding against themselves, but this will wait until the end of October.
One word or two words, Bulls hit. What are you looking
at? Oh, it's definitely one word.
It's definitely one word. I'm here to tell you.
It is one word today. That is for sure. But yeah.
Do they have enough room in the apron for all that?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
Enough with the apron.
I live for the apron.
I don't want to hear about the apron.
They need a bigger apron because it's going to get messy over there. Before it gets better.
I'm not ready to start talking apron. I just have not introduced
I'm the only one watching out for basketball.
There's no need. I will tell you what I am tired of. I'm tired of, and it doesn't matter what uniform he's in, Aaron Jones. That dude loves to kill the Bears.
That catch.
You want to talk about a dude that's a closeout dude? That's a closeout dude. He didn't even have a great game until the end, but they were like, hey, Aaron, it's his 3rd and 1, and it's huge. Give me the ball.
He also slowed down very smartly to make the pass interference call happen on Nation Wright.
Uh-huh.
How about the 27-yard catch?
Yeah, 10 yards. He's got that one, too.
Noah Sewell, a little bit.
Well, and that's another thing. Noah Sewell, who I thought had a pretty spectacular game.
Same. Thank you.
Until that moment.
Yeah.
But that's what KOC did.
Yeah,
KOC was like, hey, guy that's really good in pursuit, but maybe not great in the pass game.
Hey, man,
how about I isolate you a little bit and see what happens?
KOC outcoached Ben. JJ outplayed Caleb.
How dare you?
I know. I mean, every phase, the Bears got beat and got embarrassed.
I don't like you saying KOC, by the way.
Sorry.
Like
it's true, though. He is KOC.
I know.
And also, Matt, you're right about all
chummy.
That. They just Bears weren't good enough.
No, they're not good enough.
I mean, the players weren't good enough.
Here's the thing: as I'm sitting there, and you felt that one coming, you could feel it coming. A loss like that can be the difference at the end of a season. Not that they're necessarily going to be good enough to be close, but if they are, if they do happen to find it, if there does happen to be all this progress and they're close, they're going to look back on that one. That's an embarrassing bad loss to have.
If you have any hope of being near 500,
you got to win every game like
that. Game.
Every
yeah.
single game like that. You got an 11-point lead in the third quarter at home.
Sunday's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting. Here's what we got planned for you on today's show. It is the debut of our weekly segment with Matt Forte. He's nice. Going to join us at 3 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears' offense and overall. We're going to take some calls today, baby, because we know that people want to get in. We will talk with Jason Leisure at 425. And Jalen Johnson, the Jalen Johnson Show, will be 515 today. Ooh, we will get him on and ask him some stuff, like when is he going to play? Because they could probably need him and Kyler Gordon, because that defense did quite the collapse at the end of the game yesterday over at Soldier Field. We will do all of that. Danny's got an open for you next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.